You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. We welcome you to Wednesday Live. It is right now just a few seconds after 11 o'clock, and so glad to have you joining us. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and so glad that you have joined us again today. We come to you every Wednesday morning with this program, and we bring some of the best in local news and views. And occasionally we bring in some national headliners and get to talk with some of our key leaders in the kingdom of God across the United States. Today I have a great leader that God has raised up, has a heart for our state, and really for there to be some great things happen in regards to education. Keith Flaw is with us today, and Keith is with the Florida Citizens Alliance. And I have that you are the CEO and the co-founder. Is all that correct, Keith?
Yes, that's correct, Jonathan.
All right. You have a very big job, and a lot has been going on. So I was thinking as we were closing out the year, I really had to get back in touch with you because I constantly run into families that have no clue about what's available to them here in the state of Florida. So first of all, Keith, just tell us a little bit about Florida Citizens Alliance. What is this organization, and how can people find you on the web, and how can they get more information?
Certainly, I'd be happy to. Florida Citizens Alliance is a 501c non-for-profit organization coalition. We now have close to 300,000 Floridians in our active database that we work with. We work in basically three pillars. I often start this conversation by saying our public schools are union-driven government monopolies, and the unions are Marxist. Therefore, the public education system is heavily socialist at best, if not worse. So we work in three pillars. We try to meet parents where they are. We're very involved in the legislative cycle. Literally, I just got back from Tallahassee yesterday. We're working on some bills that we can explain a little later. We have community leaders in about 20 different counties. And most importantly, we work on solutions to give parents opportunities to get out of government schools and disciple their kids in their own values.
Well, that's tremendous. In the past, we had some local battles that you were very helpful with us in just preparing us to know how to approach some of the things that were going on here in Martin County that had to do with, initially it had to do with trying to set aside a month to a gay month or something like that, and you were very helpful with that. In looking at the state and what is available, incidentally, we now have more righteous leaders in our county school board, which is quite a blessing here in Martin County, and I know that's happening in other counties. What is going on in the state in regards to some of these programs? I have in my hand, I get this from the governor's office every week, and this was back, dated on January the 10th, and I pulled it out and rent a copy of it because I wanted to bring it up in talking with you about some of these programs. This just sort of as a headliner says over 500,000 students are now receiving school choice scholarships. What is a school choice scholarship, and what are some of these new programs that are available in the state?
Well, 2 years ago, the legislature passed and the governor signed into law what's called an education savings account. And it's basically a voucher system that is available for every student in the public school system. And what it means is that if you're in the public school system and you want to send your child either to a private school or you're a homeschool family and you want to use the money, and I've got to come back and talk about that, but if
okay.
you want to use that money, then you can get up to, averages by county different, but $7,500 per child to pull your kid out of a government school and send them to a private school or this homeschool opportunity. But I want to qualify the homeschool side of this. There's about 150,000 homeschool kids here in Florida. And when they created this law, the statute that the governor signed, you know, when the government gives you money, it always comes with strings, right? Mm. And so what happened was they created a whole new special section of law for homeschool families. And if you take the money, you no longer legally are a homeschool family. You're now what's called a personalized education program family. And your kids must take a government test, and your kids must have the curriculum approved by a state organization. So, you know, we lots of homeschool families are taking that money, $7,500 per child. You know, if you got three or four kids, that's a big deal. But we work with folks who are doing that, but we don't encourage it. If I can just be blunt.
So, what are the direct negatives that you're running into in regards to families that are taking that? What are some of the negatives that families are running into in the homeschool?
Well, I mentioned the two big ones briefly, and then as we get into this legislative cycle, we're going to see more of the same. It's excess regulation. If you're a homeschool family, under homeschool law, you're really pretty autonomous in the state. You have very little regulation. You have to register with your local school board that you're homeschooling your family, and they have a right to come into your home once a year to kind of check to see what you're doing. Many of the school districts don't bother. So that's under homeschool law. But again, if you take the money, you're now your child now has to take a government test, and you have to send the curriculum you want to use to an organization called Step Up, that is the agency that oversees all of the funding for these, and they have to approve it. Now, what we're seeing, we saw a little bit of this last year, and we're going to see it again in this next legislative cycle, is more and more regulation on what you can use that money for or what you can't use it for. They tried to get last year they tried to narrow it down just to academic materials. So if you wanted to use any of that money for a music program for your child or for an equestrian program or literally anything that wasn't tied to, you know, the ABCs, if you will, then you couldn't do so. Now, they failed to get that last year, but there's more and more pressure to limit families on what they can use the money for. And that's, you know, I hate to be negative or cavalier, but, you know, anytime the government gives you money, they're going to put regulation on it. And, you know, we see that happening in other states big time. So,
Keith, are you on a speaker?
Sort of situation that,
are you on a speakerphone?
Sorry, go ahead.
Are you on a speakerphone? We have a little bit of rattle.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm on. Is this better?
That is better.
Hey, I just was using earbuds. I wasn't on a speaker, but I was just using earbuds.
Yes, that was creating a real hindrance in the signal. In line with that discussion of the limitations or guidelines that are put on the homeschool access to those resources, how does that impact Christian private schools that are receiving funds from the state? Are they being pushed in the same direction?
Their children that are in those Christian schools will have to take those government tests on an annual basis. And And there will be, their curriculum will have to be approved by Step Up. To be blunt, Step Up is very bureaucratic and their implementation has been really challenging. So it varies significantly by school. What they're experiencing with Step Up, but the law is very clear. If you take the money, you must take a government test, and you must have your portfolio approved, curriculum or portfolio approved by Step Up. It's fairly benign right now. Most parents will say, you know, so what? My kids have to take a test. I want to know where they are. Well, it's a government test, there's 20 possible tests on that list your child can take, and 18 of them are Common Core tests. So, we theoretically got rid of Common Core 4 years ago under the governor, but it still seeps into the system.
So, how does this compare to like the? Was it the Hope Scholarship where students, if they were being harassed or whatever, were able to actually apply and transfer? How did that work, and how is that different, or is it different?
No, it is different. The Hope Scholarship is available only to traditional public school families. And it was passed in 2017. It's an amazing law and program available. If your child is being bullied, and the definition of bullying is no longer just child on child, it's anybody in the system can now legally be a bully. So a teacher, a principal, a lunchroom manager, another parent can be a bully. The second thing it does is that if you believe your child is being threatened or intimidated by anything being taught, so for a fact, if they're teaching, LGBTQ to your child in a classroom and you object to that, then all you have to do is fill out a one-page form, take it to the principal. The principal is legally required to sign it within 24 hours, whether they agree with you or not. And the day they do, you're eligible for up to a $7,500 scholarship to take your child to a private school. Right now, it's not available to go into a homeschool environment. It's only available to get out of traditional government school to go to a private school.
So this is actually a situation where either physical, it could be physical, it could be, you could be bullied mentally, emotionally, whatever. It could come from any level there. That is an opportunity for a student and a family to actually take a bit of a stand within the public school system that they want to pull out, and also they're not in agreement with what's going on. But back to the earlier discussion with the funds that are available, the school choice, the school they're going into, are they going to be required the same to take the? Of course, I can't see a family even caring if they had their student in public school already taking the secular test.
Yeah, if they take the money and go into a private school. The Hope Scholarship doesn't require that school to use a specific curriculum, but if they're taking other education savings account students, they're going to be trapped in that same scenario.
Gotcha. Now, go ahead.
I was just going to give you what I think is an example that drives home the Hope Scholarship that I think you'll appreciate. It's about a year and a half old now, but a grandmother from Orlando called me one Friday afternoon, and her grandson had come home that day, and she asked him how his day went, and his response was, I got an F in class today. Well, she got very concerned, and as she checked it out, she found out that a teacher was teaching a class in Greek mythology to 12 and 13-year-olds. She told him to get out a piece of pencil or a pencil and piece of paper and draw a picture of God. Not a Greek God, but draw a picture of God. When the little boy raised his hand and said, "I can't do that, I'm a Christian," she pointed her finger at him and said, "Then you get an F, and anybody in the class who sides with you gets an F." Hmm. 48 hours later, that child has the whole scholarship to go to a private school, and they chose a Christian a school to do that.
Wow.
That's the power of the Hope Scholarship. So quite literally, if you're a parent and you believe your child is being threatened or intimidated by anything in government school, in a government school, a public traditional school, it has to be a specific event. It can't be a generic. But all you have to do is fill out the form. We help hundreds of families a year sort through the bureaucracy. Because not all of the school districts are welcoming of that, as you might guess.
Certainly, I can for sure. What is the New World Scholarship account? What is that about?
I'm not familiar with that term, the New World Scholarship.
Yeah, it
I'm
says.
Not familiar with that at all.
Yeah, this is from the governor's office, and it says not only are there 500,000 students participating in Florida Choice. So that's quite a few, but additionally, more than 30,000 students are participating in the New World's Scholarship Accounts Program.
And I'm just being blunt. I've never heard of that.
Okay,
I'll check it out.
What about the
I'm not aware of that.
Go ahead.
Pardon?
What about the transportation stipend that's available for students?
Yeah, that's a small part of the Hope Scholarship. If you decide you want to send your child to another public school rather than the public school that you're in, instead of going to a private school, there's a $750 annual transportation scholarship to support. You're picking another public school.
I see. Okay, so obviously there are people doing that because there's like 18,000 that are part of that program at this point as well. So it sounds like there's right. there's a lot more that needs to be done here in the state of Florida. So what is your organization really actively involved in, and what should the body of Christ be aware of, parents and grandparents that are desiring to see their children raised up in the ways of the Lord?
Yeah, well, we have 2 years ago, we kicked off a major initiative called our Micro School Initiative.
Okay.
And we have a full-time project, a program director. She's a mom who, has several kids and has been driving our program. But very simply, the Micro School Initiative, think of a micro, most people say, what's a micro school? A micro school can be a co-op, it can be a pod, it can be a one-room schoolhouse, it can be a hybrid. So it's there's lots of different implementations, but the homeschool or the micro school initiative that we have encourages Christian moms and dads to come together in co-ops. We have five partners that we've identified with God-centric curriculum, and we don't require you use one of those, but we are training education consultants around the state. We have seven now that are trained as consultants to come alongside Christian moms and dads who want to get their kids out of government schools and help them start a micro school or a co-op or a one-room schoolhouse. In the last August September timeframe of 2024, we actually launched or started eight classical Christian micro schools in five different counties around Florida, and our plan this year is to triple that. So we love to work with families. We encourage them to work. Legally, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can do it under homeschool law. or you can do it under as a sub-ministry under a church. So there's lots of different ways that families can do that. But the real value of it is the parents are then taking taking accountability for what their kids are learning, and they're able to teach their kids their values rather than the government of socialist values.
So that the micro school can actually be as small as just one family taking care of their teaching their own kids, or it could be a group in a church or community, whatever. So there's a lot of flexibility.
Well, it can be, but we encourage the idea is for the ideal is, and I'll use the one room schoolhouse as an example. One of our partners is called My Father's World, and they've organized their curriculum into four tiers. So they encourage you to put 4-year-olds in the same classroom with up to second graders, and then third through fifth, and sixth through eighth, and then high school. And the ideal classroom would be at 10 to 15 kids in one of those range groups. And if you use My Father's World curriculum for all 12 years, your child will have read the entire Bible three times. And what I think is so cool about it is kids learn to respect each other when they're in the same classroom. And what we do in our public schools is we put them arbitrarily in these 12 different grades, and they don't learn to respect each other and learn from each other.
Well, so the entire educational process through high school would just be three different groups.
Yeah, and so it's very scalable. So if you're a couple families that want to come together and start a micro school, for your younger kids, then you can scale it both vertically, and if you have more than 10 to 15 kids, you can have, you could theoretically have three different micro schools in one church location. We encourage families to work with their local churches. We really believe it ought to be parent-led, not church-led, but church-supported. We don't want to put more of a burden on the church, if you will, and many pastors don't want more of a burden. But I think more and more pastors are recognizing that their kids that are being discipled in the government schools are leaving the church big time. And so this becomes a way for churches to actually grow their church.
So once again, how can people find out more about your organization? Give those contact information for the Florida Christian Alliance.
Our website is goflca.org, goflca.org. There's lots of information out there about what we're doing at the legislative level. There's a whole section on micro schools and how you can reach out to our team to better understand that process. And if you're interested, we'll actually assign a mentor to you as a group of parents to actually start a school.
Excellent. Now,
goflca.org.
Now, what is the cost of these micro schools?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It varies. If you use My Father's World as an example, the cost is about $350 per child per year. So for 10 kids, you're talking about, and it's a cookbook type fashion where you as the parents have become the teachers. If you want to start a micro school using their program, but you want to hire a teacher, then you've got to put a business model, and that's where our mentors come into play. You've got to put a business model in place to fund that. And so so it really depends on what you as a group of parents want to do. The beauty of it is it's very, very flexible. But the average micro school child is in the classroom, 3 to 4 hours, 2 to 3 days a week, and the rest of the time they become self-learners. So it really is a way to build to change the whole character of your family rather than sending them off to the government schools.
So is do you see any of the micro schools actually pulling from any of the state funds, or are they pretty much all independent?
We've started 8 schools, as I've said, and the vast majority in Bluntly are taking the public taking that that money.
Okay.
We don't encourage it. We're very willing to work with parents and help them through that, and we'll see whether over time whether the regulation becomes obsessive.
So the curriculum, My Father's World, that is something that that you produce? The Florida Christian Alliance, Citizens Alliance produces?
A partner of ours.
A partner, okay.
We have 5 curriculums that we vetted.
Okay.
My Father's World, one of them. I don't have time to go through all of them, but each of them have a unique character and reason they're in our program. But again, if you want to start a micro school, we will share those with you, and you're welcome to use one of them. But if you decide you want to use your own curriculum or put together your own curriculum, the whole beauty of the of what we do is we mentor you through the business process of starting and sustaining that school. Actually, the curriculum becomes a lesser part of that equation, because if you're going to start a school, you're really starting a business. And most parents aren't equipped to do that. They're passionate about discipling their kids, but many parents, need the help of how do I start a business? How do I sustain it and grow it? So that's where our expertise comes into play.
Well, I can see that's where a lot of families might want to lean a little bit on the church to have some assistance in putting something together. But it's not uncommon for a school, one of these micro schools, to function within the facilities of a church, right?
Actually, of the 8, 5 of them do exactly that.
Okay.
We have one here in Naples that started out with about 20 kids. And already in the first year, they have 100 kids.
Wow!
So
it's a lot.
There's a real demand out there. There are lots of parents who will recognize. I think we're pretty close to being out of time. But I was just in Tallahassee yesterday at a Senate hearing, and the Department of Education was trying to defend its education program. And they were sharing with the senators on the education committee, 50% of our kids in Florida cannot read and do math at grade level.
50%?
Wow.
50% of our kids cannot read and do math at grade level. On the recent education report that comes out from an organization called NAEP, Florida ranked 47th. Out of 50 states.
Wow.
Our public education system is irreparably broken. The governor's been doing some things to get, to improve that by getting with the Common Core and some things that are hopefully going to make it better over time. But at the end of the day, they're still socialist in their values. So we just encourage parents to wake up and take charge and disciple the kids in their own Christian values rather than the government values.
Well, Keith, if we had more time, I'd want to ask you about that church on the other west coast of Florida, that Lehigh Acres, that's having some challenges over there. Is that in reference to one of the micro schools?
No, actually, we work closely with that pastor. We actually were successful at helping him stay in business.
Good.
He got a shutdown order from the state, but we've now got a plan that he's accepted and the state's willing to work with that gives him enough time to survive, because they literally gave him a shutdown order on November 1st.
Wow. Well, I would like to close with prayer today in reference to this topic. Keith, would you just lead us in a closing prayer? As we know, parents have they have choices to make, and parents are busier maybe than ever before. And in our history as a nation, it seems there are so many things with both parents working maybe one, two, or more jobs. And a lot of times that leaves our children really at risk. So being able to have a Christian option, a safe option, and a good educational option is really so important. I do appreciate what you do.
Well, certainly. Father, we thank you for the freedom that you've given us as a nation. We understand that it's under attack, and it is up to us to protect our children, to disciple our children in our Christian values.
Amen.
And we just encourage you to come alongside pastors and families to help them understand that they really need to take control of discipling their own children. And we really do appreciate all that you've done for this nation, particularly most recently with President Trump and what he's doing to change and save our country as a Christian nation. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Keith, thank you so much for your work and your ministry there at the Florida Christian Alliance. GoFLCA.org. GoFLCA.org. And you're going to find a lot of helpful information. You may be a family that's just wanting to see something available, something started. You're willing to get involved in that. Maybe a pastor listening today. This is a great organization, a great resource. GoFLCA.org. Keith, thank you so much. We'll try to stay in touch. Anything comes up, please keep us in mind. We have a large audience, and I know our people are blessed by your ministry.
Thank you, Jonathan.
God bless. Have an awesome day.
Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah,
goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, daughters of Zion, oh, Abraham's sons, hear the words of your father. Hear his promise of love. I will make you a blessing. So count the stars if you can. You will be a great nation. I will give you this land. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, all my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. Once I gather you under my wings, I will bring you all back home again. Though you've wandered like strangers to the ends of the earth, I will send you a savior. I will finish my work. You have no other shepherd. You have no other Lord. Green pastures are waiting in Zion once more. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take
the one we have pierced. But don't fear, oh my daughters, oh sons of Abraham. I will wash you with water. I will offer the lamb. Though your sins were like scarlet, they'll be whiter than snow. I have always been with you. I will never let go. I will bring you back home. I'll bring you back home, oh my children. You will no longer roam lost and alone in the night. There is nothing on earth that could take you away. I will gather you under my wings. I will bring you all back.
We are back. We're back. We're trying to come back. Here we are.
Yeah.
And we have our next guest with us today, and I am absolutely thrilled to have Pastor James Pendleton from Coastal Life Church with us in the studio. But before I jump to you, Pastor, I must say that the staff here, they've been patiently sitting on the premises very quietly. Karen, welcome.
Good morning. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. You've kind of gone through a little bit of a foggy, coldy, flu-y thing, attack thing, right?
It hasn't been pretty.
It has not. Yeah, don't go into details. But
we can all imagine. Yeah.
We're glad you're back. And since you're a clean freak, I know you kind of made sure everything was sanitized, so you've kept us all safe here.
That's right.
And Dave, from the front line, here you are in the studio today.
Yeah, I'm enjoying being here. We got so many good things going on that God's got us started doing. And,
indeed.
You know, it's exciting.
You know, we're getting ready to start prepping for Prayer and Share that's going to be coming up in April. Wow, that April, you know, it's it's been a blessing. I want to thank all of you who make WCNO a part of your annual giving. And some of you were not able to do that the last Prayer and Share that we had back in October. But if you're able to begin praying about that, maybe a little early, but it's coming. And I want to let you know that God has really provided. We had a shortened time. If you remember, we had storms.
Yes.
We had storms. We had tornadoes. We had a ferocious time. And we ended up with about 1 week of, a little better than a week of actual on-air programming for fundraising rather than two. And the report is, it looks to me like by the time we get to that 6 month, we're going to fully fund this 6 months. So thank you very much to all of you. Some of you gave extra because you just do that. You knew it was a tight time. But I am happy to report that it looks like we're on track to fully fund this 6 months, which is a praise God. And so enough about all of that. I want to get immediately to Pastor Pendleton. Welcome.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you guys today.
Now, this is your first time in the studio?
This is my first time here. It is. Absolutely my first time here. So it's great to see what you guys are doing here and what you're doing for our community to be a voice out into our community and really more than our community, kind of this whole region.
All South Florida.
That's awesome.
We have a very big mouth for God. You know, when you think that we're into 12 counties. And someone this morning was talking about listening to us down in Fort Lauderdale, but when I dropped my wife off at the port, went down to pick her up. I listened all the way to the port of Miami to WCNO, clear signal, right up to the port, which is pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
So a third of the state of Florida is actually within our reach. There aren't very many radio stations that can actually say that, so that's pretty cool. Pastor, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so give us a thumbnail of your God story.
Yeah, my God story. As much of a thumbnail as I can give, I actually grew up in a Christian home.
That's awesome.
I did. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christ-centered home.
Excellent.
And grew up in a ministry home. I grew up, my dad's a pastor, and well, he's retired since, but my dad was a pastor. I grew up in a Christian home in small town Texas. Small town Texas of about 5,000 people. So like we had one fast food restaurant, and that was it.
What was it?
It was Sonic.
Sonic, really?
So small town Texas, grew up there. So
I bet you had more than one church.
There were more than one church, definitely in small town Texas. Okay. Pretty much every other corner has a church.
One fast food restaurant, but many churches.
Many churches in a town of 5,000.
Well, people need the Lord. Okay.
That's true. And I grew up in that. And, you know, obviously the faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ was something that was laid as a foundation in my life very, very early on. And I do remember very distinctly for me, sometimes when you grow up in a Christian home, sometimes you're like, man, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, it's been part of my foundation, part of my life, but I have very distinctly.
Is it for real? Is it crammed down your throat? Is this my faith, or is this just my parents? I went through that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so for me, I very distinctly remember when I was in sixth grade, calling my dad in my bedroom one night and saying, Dad, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Awesome.
And so I look to that moment in my life as the moment that I made a decision.
Born again moment.
Yep. To make that personal relationship with Jesus Christ for me. Wow. So in middle school, and then so growing up in that Christian home, growing up like that, had the foundation of all spiritual truth and scriptural truth, biblical truth in my life. When I was in high school, I'm a big sports guy, and when I was in high school, I began to feel God call on my life for full-time ministry. And me to be very honest with you, I ran from that.
I understood.
I'd seen it. It wasn't the fact I didn't. I loved the church.
How is God knocking on your door? I mean, people listen. They're like, okay, how do I know if this is God or if it's just a message I heard, an emotional thing? Will this pass? Or because you know, those are questions people have.
Yeah, no, I think for everybody, it probably looks a little different. But for me, it was just the impression on my heart every time. Not every single message I heard, but many times I'd hear a message, or I would be in a conversation with my youth leader, somebody that was discipling me, and I would just feel this impression on my heart that God was saying, hey, I want you to surrender your life and the vocation of your life for my kingdom work. And I just felt that over and over and over again. And I ran from it. I liked the church. It wasn't like I didn't like the church, but I also saw the ins and outs. I saw the goods and the bads of leading.
Saw the back room, right?
Yeah, saw the back room, exactly. So I remember very distinctly summer after my junior year in high school, being at camp with my church's youth group and the camp speaker challenging us and seeing if God's calling any of us. And I finally surrendered. I had been running and pushing that away. And I surrendered to that vocational call of ministry in a vocational way on my life. And I went back my senior year in high school and had a normal senior year of high school and had really successful sports in my senior year, and that brought along recruitment. And
what's your sport?
Well, actually, in high school, I played football, basketball, baseball, ran track, and played golf.
So you are a sports guy.
So I'm a sports guy, yeah. So coming out of high school, I had the opportunity to play small college football and baseball. A small college in Kansas had offered me. And so I bargained with God. I don't know if any of us ever done that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I bargained with God, and I said, you know, God, I will do this ministry thing later, but first let me go do what I want to do. And so I graduated thinking I was going to go to this small college in Kansas and play football and baseball for them, and then I'll figure out. And for some people, that may be the route that God has for them. It wasn't what God had for me, because I went back to camp after I graduated, that last time you get to go to camp as a graduate senior, and the camp speaker was the same one from the year before. And he started saying things like this. He's saying, hey, some of you last year, I'll never forget this. Some of you last summer were here, and you jumped out of the boat into some deep waters of commitment with God, and you got back to school this year, and you got a little scared, so you swam back to shore where your feet could be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
that's strong.
There's like 300 kids at this camp. Who told him my story?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And in that moment, God just grabbed my heart. And so I went back home and made a call to coaches there, said, thank you for your attention. Thank you for your opportunity. Wow. But I got something else I got to do. And I enrolled in a Bible college.
Wow.
And
that's awesome.
Went to Bible college. And God's had me on a journey of full-time serving in ministry since then.
All right, we want to find out if you're married, want to find out if you have kids, but first, how can people find Coastal Life Church, and where are you located?
Yeah, so Coastal Life Church, we are here in Palm City, Florida, right here in Palm City, and real close to the station here, actually.
You are close.
Very close to the station here. We're right here off 34th Street in Palm City. Best way to find us is through our website at coastallife.church. Coastallife.church.
Excellent. Excellent. So married, children, what's the family look like?
Family life is perfect. My wife and I have been married since 1996, so I have to calculate those years. We're getting close to 30 years.
Okay.
So
that's good. You're off to a great start.
Off to a great start. So my wife and I, and she is just a huge support in my life and in our ministry. She has served alongside me in various ways throughout all these years. And we have two kids. We have two adult kids, and our daughter and our husband live right here in Palm City with us.
Wow, how great.
And they have blessed us with our first and our only right now grandchild. So we have a grandson who just turned a year old in January.
Wow.
And our daughter Kaylee actually serves on our church staff. She is our student ministry director, and she oversees all of our student ministry for middle school and high school students. And it's a joy to have your kid with you serving in ministry and living out the calling that God has on them in their life. Mm-hmm. And so that's a joy. So her and her husband obviously are actively involved in our church in that way, and as long as they keep that grandson right here close to us, that's even better.
that's gonna be great.
Yeah. And then our son, then we have a 22-year-old son who's living out his dream right now. He actually plays professional baseball. He's in the Los Angeles Angels organization playing in their minor league system. So currently, he's out in Arizona for spring training.
Wow. Ooh. So you passed a little bit of that talent along, didn't you?
I passed it along. I'll tell you, he has a lot more talent than I ever had. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about the church a little more. I was just looking online, and I see the schedule for... Four morning services. Are you speaking in all of these services?
I do. The Sundays I'm speaking, obviously, I have some other pastors on our staff that will preach, you know, once every 6 weeks or so. But if I'm preaching on a Sunday, yeah, we're preaching all four of those. And so, yeah, the majority of those are preaching back to back to back.
So God's doing something good, and God's doing something big over at Coastal Life. That is really exciting. I'm thrilled to hear that. And it's just great. I'm not sure how, you know, you pack four into morning, but I looked at your schedule, and looks like that happened. So what does the church have to offer? What's God doing that is drawing all these families and people in?
Yeah, is it the word you just used, families? It really is. That is our vision. That's at our heart. We really clarified that vision and a heart for us as a church a few years ago. And that is our vision. Our vision, and really my vision for us as a church, is that we want to see generations of Christ-centered families throughout the Treasure Coast.
That's awesome.
And so that's really at the heart of who we are as a church. We put a lot of time and investment into youth ministry. We call it student ministry. Put a lot of time and investment into children's ministry.
Yep.
We do a lot of investing into marriages, into moms and dads as parents. And I really want to see legacy. That we see generations of Christ-centered families of what we're doing in this generations of families right now.
Love it.
And our mission is to help families find and follow Jesus. And God is really allowing us to see an impact on families in this area right now. It's been a fun ride to be a part of.
There is a significant, I think, national awakening to some degree in our nation. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you see that here in the Treasure Coast?
I do. I see that there is, especially in some of the younger generations of younger families, you know, families in their 30s starting to raise kids, even in 20-somethings, you know, you see this. There is this spiritual hunger that is coming up. I see it. I have a huge passion for college-age students in that stage of life, young adults. And you see it really even all around our nation. You see college campuses, the Spirit of God moving on college campuses in amazing ways this past year. And that age group, surprisingly, is starting to settle into Martin County also. I mean, Martin County used to never have 20-somethings in it. And now all of a sudden, we've seen in our church, like, we're just like wondering, like, where are these 20-somethings coming from? And they're settling here. And so I see that spiritual hunger in these younger generations. I say younger generations in like the 20-somethings establishing life and 30-somethings starting to raise families. I think they're trying to figure it out. And hopefully they're finding out the best way to figure that out is through Jesus.
Amen.
Do you think the failure of just marriage and families and the drug culture, addictions, and all the problems that we've had in our nation, that God is able to awaken in the younger people a desire for more?
I think so. I think that they are seeing the generation ahead of them, and they're kind of seeing kind of where they're at, and they want something different.
Do you think the message has to be watered down to reach these people?
Very opposite. I actually think the generations coming up now, they see the watered down, and that's they
don't want it. Do they want it?
They run from the watered down. They want hard truth. They want distinctive truth that we know is found in the Scriptures, in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
I think. What you just asked is I think it's the very opposite of what this generation is looking for and responding to.
So again, James Pendleton, Pastor Pendleton with Coastal Life Church right here in Palm City, Florida, is with us today. How can people find you on the web again?
Yeah, coastallife.church.
Coastallife.church. Back to that question, I know that we have a lot of pastors that listen to this program. And how would you address that topic? Because I hear pastors saying, well, I can't address, and they'll name different sins that are in our culture. And they'll say, well, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about that. I can't talk about that. And some of the things they may address is like, just morality and purity and LGBTQ, you know, these kinds of things. And they'll say, well, I would lose half the congregation. What would you say to that?
Here's what I would say to that is actually this past fall, I preached a series, I can't remember exactly how many weeks it was, but a series that we called Biblical Truths versus Cultural Norms. And we talked about cultural norms. We talked about the message that our culture is trying to tell us that this is normal. And we talked about sexual sins in heterosexuality, sexual sins in homosexuality. We talked about marriage. We talked about all different kinds of what culture is trying to tell us is normal and acceptable, and just going, hey, let's just look at what the Bible says about it. And I will tell you, As I preached through that series for those several weeks, I actually got the very opposite response. People going, thank you for preaching truth. Thank you. Mm. Even some people we have seekers in our church.
Sure.
Yeah, we do. We have people who are still
questioning. They're in search.
Yeah. And even they were like, hey, thanks for pointing us to what the Bible says. Some of them like, I never knew the Bible actually said this or that around.
And some of them grew up in church and they had no clue.
100%, 100%. Yeah. So that's what I would encourage pastors to go to just, I mean, I understand the fear that they're saying. I understand the fear, but I don't know, maybe it's, I'm still not very old, but I'm old enough in ministry to know, like, I just don't care. I'm more concerned that I want to just preach what the Bible says. And the reality is, if you get mad at me, I actually know you're not mad at me. You're mad at the truth of the scripture.
Right. That's yeah. That's the book. So, wow. And that's really important. So, when someone comes to Coastal Life, what's going to happen when they pull into the parking lot?
Yeah, I think what you're going to feel at Coastal Life Church is that this truly is a place where people are noticed and known. And yes, God is bringing crowds of people in our service, but it is a place where people notice you. And they want to get to know you. And if you're willing to be known, you will be known at our church. And so they're going to walk, they're going to drive up, they're going to see a courtyard full of people and full of people that are glad that they're there. And they're going to see a place that really cares for their family, wants to care for their kids, wants to be there to support them as a family.
Excellent.
They're going to come in and they're going to experience some vibrant worship in the style of worship that we engage with,
right.
And brother, what we're saying, just hearing biblical truth, and
without apology, right?
Without apology, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, our ultimate goal is, and we really kind of honed in on this 2 years ago. We really looked at like, what does it mean for us to disciple people? The Great Commission is to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them and all that. And like, what does that actually look like? And so we have really worked really hard over the last 2 years to build a culture of real life relational discipleship, where we are trying to connect people with people as much as possible. And I think that has been one of the things that has changed the dynamic of our church, is that people very quickly get relationally connected to someone or a group of people.
Now, all of this is happening on a 3-acre parcel of land. You are absolutely landlocked. You need a new home. You need space to stretch and grow and continue with the call of God. You're looking for land right now, right?
We are. There's a reason we do 4 services, and it's not because we want to do 4 services. There's a reason. That's just because of the amount of people. And so we have been good stewards of this facility and the campus that God has blessed us with in these days of our church, and maximized every square inch of it and utilize it. And we just believe that God has for us another home. And that is because to continue to do the ministry that we have now, but we have vision. We have vision for more ways that we can impact families. And so, the answer is we're looking for land. And as we all know here, you know, land is really cheap and land is really easy to find in Martin County right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, back 100 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's kind of funny. I used to talk to Clyde. Clyde was an owner of a business here in town, and he was around the time he was a kid. He was talking about the area that today is Selfish Point out on Hutchison Island, and he said nobody wanted it. He could have bought that whole point for, I think it was $30,000. He said nobody wanted it. He said the mosquitoes and no-see-em literally would chew you up. And so he said, I made a very bad choice. I bought the piece of land in the corner of Indian Street and US 1, and it became the Martin Square Mall back at that point.
Okay, yes.
And so he said, I made a very bad choice. He said, I should have bought the island. Yeah, I should have bought the island. But if you're listening today, you own a piece of property. What is the target area, Pastor, where you really are looking, you have vision to locate to?
Yeah, if I were to target and then expand as may be needed, obviously, we desire to stay right here in Palm City,
in the
Palm City area. That's our ultimate desire. But then beyond that, sometimes your limitations, you're like, well, it's not available.
Sure.
So then we're expanding into Martin County. We really do want to stay Martin County, even though we're not far from the St. Lucie, and we do have plenty of people in our church from St. Lucie County. But our desire is Palm City, any parts of the Palm City area, and then the second options would be, you know, the greater Martin County area.
So there may be a realtor listening that actually knows of, you're looking for 10, 15 acres,
yes,
something like that. You need buildable land. Buildable land, not looking for disasters that's going to tie you up for 10 years, but you're looking for buildable land. And I'm sure it would be nice to have water and sewage, have some services to it. That would be great.
Definitely get you farther down the road quicker.
And it would be nice if it's, you know, if it's not underwater, if it's like above and the grades are kind of nice. But bottom line, you need 10, 15 acres that's buildable to reach out at this point. You might own a piece of land like that, and you might be thinking, you know, I could sell it for this.